A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging these arts organizations. Today, we'll hear from pianist Clara Min, a Steinway artist and founder of New York Concert Artists and Associates. The organization was founded 10 years ago to provide a network and forum for concert artists to share and learn, and this August, it is launching its first Classical Bridge Festival. We'll talk about the goals of the festival and what some of the events will be. I'll also speak with Diane Wittry about her recent appointment as music director of the Garden State Philharmonic. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. Composer Philip Glass and jazz saxophonist and composer Wayne Shorter are among those who will be recognized this year at the annual Kennedy Center Honors. The awards will also honor singer and actress Cher and country music star Reba McEntire. Being honored with a special award is the creative group behind the hit Broadway musical Hamilton, including writer and actor Lin-Manuel Miranda. In the official announcement, the group was called trailblazing creators of a transformative work that defies category. The Kennedy Center Honors will be held at the Kennedy Center Opera House stage December 2nd and will be broadcast on CBS on December 26th. The Philadelphia Orchestra teamed up with its favorite football club again this past week for another celebration of the Eagles' Super Bowl victory, including a saxophone performance by Eagles center Jason Kelsey. During the performance, the orchestra performed music along with a video of season highlights. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, Kelsey came on stage at the Mann Center to play along with the orchestra toward the end of the event as they performed the Eagles' fight song, Fly, Eagles, Fly. Some of the proceeds will support the free arts and education programs at the Mann Center and the Eagles' Autism Challenge. The award-winning composer behind the music of TV hits including Lou Grant and the Mary Tyler Moore Show has passed away at the age of 79. According to Variety, Patrick Williams received 22 nominations for music he wrote for TV shows including Columbo and The Bob Newhart Show, and his work also extended to miniseries and feature films. In addition, he wrote and recorded jazz and big band music, receiving a Pulitzer Prize nomination for his work An American Concerto for jazz quartet and symphony orchestra. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. When pianist Clara Min founded New York Concert Artists and Associates in 2008, she envisioned it as a modern-day Davidsbund, the circle of creative and musical minds brought together by Robert Schumann. Since then, the organization has provided concert and networking opportunities to musicians looking to develop and strengthen their careers. This summer, it's launching the Classical Bridge Festival Academy and Conference. The event runs August 4th through 11th, offering concert performances, masterclasses, panel discussions, and career development sessions at Merkin Concert Hall at the Kaufman Music Center and Symphony Space. I spoke with Min, who's also artistic director of the event, about what she hopes the conference would offer musicians.
I thought that it would be really interesting to combine different aspects of what's happening in the music industry, not only the concert, not only the academy, not only the conference, but creating a platform for those three components to exist together. So actually people in music world would be able to meet and in an open platform. So for example, academy students who have likely to have more chance to meet their teachers, but they don't have much chance to meet music industry people until they graduate 10 years after their graduation. So I'm creating music industry people to have conferences and also the festival academy to give lessons and masterclasses and the concerts altogether.
Well, I wanted to look at each of those components. If you could just give us a sense of some of the performances that people will have the opportunity to hear, and also who are some of the pianists that will be doing the masterclasses.
The pianist, piano faculty master classes will be given by piano faculty from Peabody Conservatory, Yonghee Moon, and Edward Silverkens. He's also a conductor of Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra, and Philip Kerwin from Manhattan School of Music, the faculty at Manhattan School of Music. Those are the piano faculty. And we have Ivry Gitlis giving masterclasses, legendary violinist, and David Kim, the concertmaster of Philadelphia Orchestra, and Alexander Federstein, clarinetist at Lincoln Center's Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center.
Now, there's quite a wide variety of very interesting topics that will be discussed as part of the panel discussion, everything from diversity in performances, working within new media. What do you think are some of the highlights that will be of particular interest to younger musicians?
The topics are really, really interesting because these topics are created to an aspiring professional who should definitely get to know these topics. And for example, new approaches to recording, production, and distribution. A lot of students who graduated from universities and conservatories, they would love to have recording of their own music, but they don't know how to, and they don't know how to distribute. They don't know how to reach out to the labels. They don't know how to promote it. So it's like we're giving exact details of how it works, and also like how to promote yourself in the streaming services. It's really interesting topics, like for example, promotional opportunities for artists in the streaming space, like YouTube, Instagram, Spotify, and students need to know how to best promote themselves through these channels. And a lot of information will be given through these topics and discussions, yeah.
What type of response have you had so far to the festival?
Oh, they're extremely interested in, obviously, Ivry Gitlis, who is a legendary violinist, and to study with renowned faculty members. That's their priority, first of all. And second of all, they're really interested in getting to know these music industry people and really discuss their ongoing career. And thirdly, they would love to get to play during the festival. Their concert will be at Steinway Hall at the end of the festival. And they would love to visit New York. From most of the European artists who will love to visit New York.
Now, this is, as you said, it's the inaugural festival, but it's also a creation of New York Concert Artists, which is, I guess, going into your just about 10 years old now. How does this reflect part of the mission of NYCA?
NYCA, New York Concert Artists, is a nonprofit organization, and we are very interested in making a platform between artists and the music industry people, and to help the connections, like creating a bridge for students to actually survive in the real world after they graduate from universities. So Classical Bridge Festival will be sort of like a center of our activity to prove that point. So we would like to give as much as possible to young musicians, and also to give music industry people to get in touch with younger musicians so that, you know, what's coming up, you know, they will know what's coming up, and like young professionals will have answers, yes.
Well, it seems the musical landscape is just changing so quickly, so dynamically. What do you see as the challenges to young artists as they're embarking on their career? And yet at the same time, what are some of the exciting opportunities that they can take advantage of now that maybe weren't there 10, 15 years ago?
10, 15 years ago, I think that the streaming space was not so evidently open to everybody. But now anybody can basically promote their career through their own channels. So this is a really great opportunity for any artist. It's a great news. But at the same time, it's easy to be lost in that space. So I think it's always good to have your own path, no matter what's going on in the world, so you would know what to do with yourself. That's the most important thing, and that is the most challenge for young artists, because they're so exposed to so many channels, so many things going on in the world.
Well, so when you founded New York Concert Artists, what were some of the thoughts that went into that? What was there a particular catalyst that made you feel that that's exactly the type of organization that this community needed?
I come from my own experiences. I graduated from Manhattan School of Music. I also studied in Germany, but I always have this feeling of like roaring in the Pacific Ocean all by myself, you know, without any kind of light, you know, lighting or like directions. So it's like, I felt like I have so much energy to do whatever I want to do, but I needed some help to guide me. So, you know, now I'm like, I graduated the school a long time ago, and I'm looking back and seeing these young professionals, I can feel that they're looking exactly the same what I was looking for, you know? So to give that kind of direction and to give provide that bridge to the real world by giving them opportunity to play and exhibit their talent through many different ways and connecting them to the world. So that was the reason. That was the excitement that I wanted to create this New York Concert Artists and Associates. Yeah.
So now, throughout the year, what would be some of the types of programs and opportunities that New York Concert Artists can offer young musicians, young artists?
So we through this festival, we have concerts that we're inviting a lot of artists from Europe and combining with artists in United States to give concerts to the audience. And participating young musicians have also concerts at Steinway Hall. And throughout the year, we also provide auditions, worldwide debut auditions. So we go to different cities in the world, like Paris, Budapest, Cologne, and Japan, Tokyo, and Seoul, China, Beijing. So we go to so many different cities in the world, and we listen to many young artists, and we collect, we select the top ones, and then they will play a recital in New York City, and we choose the top winner to give debut opportunity in Berlin Philharmonic Hall and Carnegie Hall, and to have a recording opportunity with Steinway and some label.
At any stage within a musician's career, what are the challenges to getting that debut performance? And what are kind of the goals when you're looking at where you want to perform? How do you choose your next directions?
For them, young musicians are still very exposed to a lot of competitions. There are so many competitions in the world, and once you win the competition, you will have debut concerts. That's a lot of, along with a lot of concerts that they give for a couple of years. Then the new winner comes, and you are forgotten about. So the challenges are like it's so hard to win the competition because it's not really up to. Sometimes the conditions are not really up to your talent, but more to do with. I don't know, other reasons. So it is not always easy to have this opportunity, but they have to keep doing it. I mean, like try every single possible way, not only the competition, but getting to know the presenters directly. I mean, just be there on site.
In the 10 or so years since you founded New York Concert Artists, how have you seen the programs change and evolve and adapt as the musical landscape continues to change?
In the beginning, we had concerto series. It was more like we did a lot of traditional concertos. like Mozart concerto or other concertos and Beethoven and all these traditional beautiful concertos. But I think I'm more towards adopting the new music aspect so that we could actually reflect the living composer's music to our programming as well. At the same time, we're trying to be very innovative with how we program each concert from not only the historical point of view, but also like audience point of view, so that it doesn't become too didactic, but also be very enjoyable.
And what elements have you been able to bring in from your own career that you've in particular have wanted to pass on to younger musicians?
Good question. I would say just believe in your path, because I don't know, life doesn't go in a way that you plan exactly. Sometimes life takes you to somewhere that you never expected. So careers as well. So I think whatever you have, whatever you believe in yourself, you just follow your intuition and try your best, and who knows where you're going to end up. That's my philosophy. So I don't know if that's what everybody wants to hear, but that's what I believe in.
Turning back to the festival, which of these programs will be open to the public, and what are some things that general members of the public might be interested in coming to?
Oh, all the concerts are open to public, and all the master classes, which happens at 12 o'clock, opens to public, and 3 p.m., 6 p.m. panel discussions are also open to public. Everything is open to public. The opening concert is on August 4th with legendary violinist Ivry Gitzis. And also the August 7th concert, David Kim will be joining our chamber music concert. And on the 9th, we're celebrating Bernstein at 100. So Gabo Takasneji from Verbier Festival Orchestra will be conducting the festival orchestra, and it will be really, really interesting. Oh, and I forgot about Jean-Frédéric Nidiger. He's the composer from France, a really well-known composer in France, and a really ingenious composer and pianist. And we're featuring him as featured composer in inaugural season of the festival. So his premiere, world premiere, and New York premiere will be performed August 8th.
And looking at the upcoming season for New York concert artists, any particular programs, any other new things that people should be on the lookout for?
This Classical Bridge Festival is a really, really exciting part of our programming. So I would really look forward to meet a lot of audience for this festival. And for coming years, we're going to have winners annual audition in February. So that's also something for young musicians to take a look at. So I look forward to what comes in the coming year. In New York City, when a lot of outsiders visit New York City, they always like ask me why aren't there more events going on, because Carnegie Hall is closed in August and not much concerts in New York City. So they were like all asking about exciting events. And I'm really glad that our festival is launching in the August, that actually nothing else much going on except for mostly Mozart Festival in Lincoln Center. So I am really looking forward to the inaugural season of the festival. And I hope that this musical experience will give a lot of people joy and fulfillment.
That was pianist Clara Min, founder and music director of New York Concert Artists and Associates, and founder and producer of the Classical Bridge Festival Academy and Conference. You can find more information on NYCA and the festival at newyorkconcertartists.com. Grooming young musicians is also on the to-do list for conductor Diane Wittry, who was recently named as the new music director of the Garden State Philharmonic based in Toms River, New Jersey. Wittry, who is also music director of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra in Allentown, Pennsylvania, has an initial 3-year contract with the Garden State Philharmonic. I reached out to her this week, and she told me more about that Next Generation initiative, other highlights of the Philharmonic's coming season, and what attracted her to this new opportunity.
I was attracted for many reasons. One, it's all professional players and of a very, very high caliber. Many of their players come from New York and from all over New Jersey. So, first off, the quality level of the orchestra is exceptionally high. The other thing that attracted me is that they are really the only orchestra that plays sort of north of Atlantic City on the Jersey Shore. And so I saw great potential for expanding and for doing multiple concerts and for also developing a summer series of concerts. And I really like to build orchestras and develop orchestras, and if my passion is to bring the music to as many people as possible. So I felt that the potential of things that we could do to reach more and more people was really great down there.
Hmm. Now, I understand you'll be continuing with Allentown as well?
Yes, I will, yeah. Great. Yeah, Allentown is a great orchestra, and I've spent a lot of time building that orchestra too, and I think there's going to be actually some really good synergies between the two organizations because they're far enough away, but we might actually be able to book some similar guest artists and share some ideas back and forth.
Hmm. Well, you certainly have, throughout your career, spent time with orchestras with very, very close community ties, very close involvement. What is it specifically about these regional orchestras that you really find enjoyable?
Well, that's exactly what I find enjoyable. I love getting into the communities where the music has an immediate impact. So with the Garden State Philharmonic, they actually have a youth orchestra program. So they have four different levels of youth orchestras, and they have a youth chorus, and they have a community chorus. So that was another thing that attracted me, because they have their fingers, it's not just a professional orchestra performing, it's all the different aspects of anyone can get involved with the organization. And we'll be building that and developing more outreach programs, both for underserved communities and also very interested in starting a whole program based upon health and the healing power of music, and also the power of music with memory retention. There's a lot of retired people in that area, and I think there's some just really exciting outreach that we can do. And that's really what the regional orchestras are able to do so much more in the immediate communities. And I find that very exciting.
Mm. And what would you say are some of the highlights of the upcoming season, and where do you see taking them musically once you get into the planning stages?
We've just finished finalizing the concerts. So some really good rep. Each concert has what we call a piece that everybody knows and loves, and then I also try to work in pieces that people don't know. So for like our opening concert in September, we're doing Scheherazade, which is a phenomenal piece, but I'm partnering that with selections from Aladdin by Carl Nielsen, which most people will not be familiar with that piece. And then sandwiched in between, I have the Brook Violin Concerto, which is a very well-known piece, but my guest artist is Judy Kang, who's Juilliard-trained and actually toured as the violinist with Lady Gaga. And she's also soloed with Pierre Boulez. So she brings this wonderful, eclectic approach by being basically a crossover artist, being able to play classical and pop music. So the direction we're going in is really, we'll be starting a whole new program called Garden State Philharmonic Next Generation. We're going to be auditioning and using a little bit of the Symphony in C model, but really also not only having professional musicians, but also providing training opportunities for young musicians that are out of school, out of college, and really looking into sort of more performance aspects and how to reach new audiences. Other highlights of the season, we're doing the Four Seasons, which will spotlight some of our next generation soloists. We're doing a chorus concert with Prostiana, and then also in that concert, the Appalachian Spring. We're doing a tribute to Debussy for the 100th anniversary, but it will be Debussy and Friends, so that concert will also include Ravel's Bolero, as well as Afternoon of the Faun by Debussy and Claire de Lune and some other things. And then we're concluding the season with the Beethoven Eroica, the Third Symphony, paired with the Emperor Piano Concerto. So, two really, really great staples of the repertoire.
Now, most of the performances take place, I believe, at Ocean County Community College. Are there other venues that you bring the music to as well?
Yes, it's just yesterday we had a meeting at Spring Lake, and we'll actually be doing our April concert, which is our Four Seasons concert, which will be rolling out our Next Generation players, and that will be repeated on the Sunday in Spring Lake in their wonderful venue there. So our goal is to eventually repeat all of our concerts somewhere on the Jersey Shore and to, you know, really reach more people.
Mm. And who do you envision as, you know, being tied to the Jersey Shore? Who do you see as your core audience?
Well, we already have a core audience. Our main concerts take place in Toms River. And so we already have, the orchestra is in its 62nd season, I think. And we already have a core audience of people that have supported it for all of those years. So we have people that live there, but I also see as we develop the orchestra and begin to perform more in the summers, we currently do a July 4th concert, but I perceive that we'll be reaching the people that only come there in the summer. I mean, that's another new market that I really would like to have enjoy orchestral music.
The Next Generation sounds like a wonderful initiative. What will that entail?
Yeah, so this is a new idea, and we have a sponsor that is very interested in this program. And years ago, Michael Tilson Thomas formed the New World Symphony down in Florida, and it was a training program for young musicians out of school to really not only train them in orchestral music, but train them in stage presence, train them in bringing different types of concerts to people all throughout the community. And I wanted to do something similar, and so we'll be combining mentor musicians with our Next Generation musicians, and we'll be putting audition material up online on the Garden State Philharmonic website, so anyone interested should be checking that website. It should go up in the fall. This is really to try to bring a performance element to the concert, and so it's not only about the playing, but it's also about the stage presence. It's training the ability to speak to audiences. And then the other focus is really how do we take music out into the broader community, not just the orchestral concerts, but how do we really develop educational programs that are meaningful, that are trackable in their impact, and that are really making a difference in people's lives. And so I'm very excited about working with developing this whole new sort of structure for the orchestra going forward. Because I'm really excited about it. I think we can do some really fun new things, and that new energy of people that are fresh out of school and just really want to bring the music. They're so passionate, and they need the playing opportunities. They need the training.
That was Diane Wittry, who begins her tenure as music director with the Garden State Philharmonic this season. You can find more information on Wittry and upcoming concerts at gardenstatephilharmonic.org. I hope you enjoy these conversations that I bring you each week on A Tempo, focusing on the changing dynamics and challenges in the classical arts world. Remember, though, that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.